morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 29th, 269th day of the year. Joining us this morning is Dave Acton. Oh, he sits that sitting up. Yeah. Pretending city manager, but always chief of police. Is it?
Yeah, I like that.
So what is the biggest challenge you've got pinch hitting as city manager?
Well, I'm just basically keeping the seat warm until he gets back. I'm only city manager for a week, acting city manager, but it's, you know, it's a big job keeping the city going, answering calls for service. Just yesterday we had an issue come up with a parcel that the city owns that was we have a buyer for, and we were contacted by a real estate agent, and I talked to our city manager, and he told me to handle it. So, you know, it was new and different, and I haven't really done a lot of that stuff before, but it is it's good, and it's, you know, just the biggest challenge is just keeping things going, you know, in his absence.
It's interesting for me to hear you say that, because when mom and dad were running the store, when they were gone, it was okay, I know something's going to happen,
right?
Not sure what. Odds are like 5,000 to 1 something's going to happen. So you got the expected, and then you got the unexpected, and it's the unexpected obviously where you start learning,
right,
how to do the job.
Right. Yeah, I'm used to stuff happening as police chief with the, you know, like last night we had a robbery at a local fast food restaurant. I'm used to that sort of thing, those types of surprises and emergencies. You know, if we had a, you know, a major water line break on Main Street, I know who to call to help me, you know, so.
Yeah, I think as much as anything, particularly for folks that are new into positions, whether it's temporary or permanent, is to know who are your guys.
Yeah.
Who will answer the phone.
Right.
First.
Yeah.
Who has the competency to deal with it or the experience? And then how do I learn from them so next time maybe either I don't have to interrupt them, or maybe I can take care of it myself, or I don't have my blood pressure at 240.
Exactly.
Normalize things a little bit.
Right.
Do you get to go to training to be city manager? Is that kind of something that department heads get?
Well, I wouldn't call it training. We do weekly department head meetings, and so I get filled in by Regan on all of the events and all of the things he's doing. He's invited me to several meetings with business owners and things like that. When
little tidbits,
yeah, tidbits. Yeah. So it helps out.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Bill, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there as a cop, you know, I've been busting my guys a little bit to say, you know, geez, we're getting all this stuff from Eureka. Okay, you know, the activities, I mean, just the regular stuff. What about Sonny Fortuna? And it's interesting. And I don't know if it's endemic or reflective of a small town where, okay, I mean, you know, if you guys have a major event, probably a third of the town knows about it before you're back at the shop.
Right. Social media.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so that the formal communication stuff might be not as time sensitive.
Right.
As what when you guys go through the reports, you mentioned the thing this morning. Mm-hmm. Okay. At fill in the blank restaurant, unless you want to share who it is at this point. What is the process that goes on from call, response, event, follow-up, sharing? I mean, what's the normal process that we go through in that?
Well, you know, our department, we have 16 sworn officers. So when an officer is dispatched to a call like a robbery or something like that, you know, in a larger department, they would be the initial responding officer, and then that case would get kicked off to a detective. In Fortuna, they stick with it, you know, through the whole thing. So we do it all. You know, they go out, they respond. Obviously, you know, the initial stages, we're looking for the suspect. We're trying to get a suspect description. We're out there, you know, which way was he last seen going?
Which way did he go? Yeah, I know you were going there.
We're out there looking for him. We're calling in resources, a canine if it's available, things like that. So that's the initial process. Then we do the follow-up with evidence collection, fingerprinting, looking at surveillance. And, you know, then we put it out to the media like we did this morning with our suspect in this case. We have a pretty clear picture of his face on a video. So we sent that out and hopefully. Yeah. So hopefully that generates some tips and it gets some people calling us saying, hey, you know, this looks like so-and-so. And we can go contact him and see what he's been up to.
So one officer will run it the whole. That's kind of like an assigned case?
It is. I mean, they get a lot of help from the other officers, and the sergeants are always giving them guidance. But, yeah, once an officer is assigned a case, it's his from start to finish in Fortuna. We don't have the luxury of having a detective unit or something like that. So, our officers are pretty well-rounded. We do a lot of training in fingerprinting, evidence collection, investigations, and all that sort of thing. So they can be really proficient at handling these types of cases.
That's what I was kind of reflecting as you were commenting, is that your guys have full big picture.
They do, yeah.
They're not specialists, they're generalists, which if you need a specialist, you probably can call somebody in from the county.
We can. We've had big incidences where we have called, you know, the DA's office in to conduct an investigation, or we have used DOJ to come in on a major case. And use, you know, their high-tech advanced equipment to assist us in evidence collection and things like that. So that's not unusual, but typically our officers will handle it from start to finish.
That's right. You have a majority of the cases.
Majority of the cases, yeah.
So as you're training or recruiting these folks.
Yes.
Is that seen as a benefit or is that seen as less sexy?
It depends on how you look at it, because I see it as a benefit. I've always enjoyed all aspects of police work. So I think most of the people that we do have working in our department enjoy all aspects. They enjoy the evidence collection part of it. They enjoy the follow-up part of it. They enjoy going out and talking to witnesses and doing that sort of thing. It's time-consuming. We're getting busier. 10 years ago, we were averaging about 10,000 calls for service a year. Last year, we averaged 20,000 calls for service for the year. And last month, we had our all-time high of 2,200 calls for service in a month. So with those types of numbers, it's harder for our staff to, you know, to do follow-up. But I do believe they enjoy doing it. It's busy. They have a lot to do. It involves a lot of overtime in a lot of cases. On the major cases, such as the one we had last night, we'll probably dedicate a lot of overtime for those officers to do a lot of follow-up and do further investigation on that.
So what triggers it? Is it the overtime? Is it the magnitude of the event or is it the time proximity?
It's both. The time proximity and the magnitude. Yeah, if we get a major felony case, let's say, you know, a robbery, a rape, homicide, something like that, we're going to donate a lot of, you know, time and manpower to solving that case. So it does involve some overtime. The other cases that we see, the theft cases, the burglaries, the petty theft, the grand thefts, those sorts of things, typically don't involve so much overtime. But we do like to do a thorough investigation, just the same on anything. We're a full service department in Fortuna, which means we don't have.
Have
no
you ever
reports.
Found anybody who's a partial service department?
Well, sure, absolutely.
I never hear anybody brag about that.
Yeah, you know, we've thought about since our calls for service have gone up about we've kicked around the idea of mail-in reports and things like that. They do in that in other agencies. However, in Fortuna. We don't want to give up that, you know, that feel that when you call the police department, an officer is going to respond to your house, no matter if it's a garden gnome taken from your front lawn or you just had a major burglary to your residence. You're going to have an officer come out and take a report.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. Watch out for all those gnomes, and we'll be back.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Information Time, it's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Acting City Manager for the week. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get a new badge with that too, Bill?
No.
Not too bad.
I get a pat on the back after next week.
You get a fancy little hat?
No hat, no nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, just nothing.
You got to talk to him.
I do.
But always Police Chief Bill Dilberstein is with us. Bill, when you were talking about calls for service, I think... Now, this is, I guess, the media guy coming out. And, you know, I most times try to keep that locked down, chained. With police reports or things like this show, we start to get a sense of what a department is and what you do. Yeah, because I don't think the regular guy or gal out there really understands the magnitude. I mean, 20,000 calls. Okay, sounds like an impressive figure. Divide it out by the number of days. And it may very well be an impressive figure. It's your guy's normal.
Right.
So if you ever went back to the 10,000, you got guys standing in the corner wondering what they're supposed to do. You know,
right.
Do you have a broom? yeah, let me sweep the sidewalks kind of thing. But we don't, I think, appreciate the activity level of what goes on because we don't hear. If you shared an average day for the department, how many calls for service, how many would be nasty, how many would be, are you kidding me? How many would be DUI? I mean, what is a normal day for FPD?
A normal day encompasses a lot of those things. It encompasses DUI, domestic violence, petty thefts, disorderly conduct, suspicious incidences, suspicious person calls, to dog barking loudly type of calls, I found a loose dog on Kenmar Road. Can somebody come pick it up for me? You know, those also, take our time. We do have a community service officer that responds to those types of calls. But, we see the whole gamut in Fortuna. A typical day would see a lot of theft-related calls and a lot of calls on, although it has decreased a little bit, on a transient situation, you know. Yeah, we get a lot of calls on, I call them suspicious person calls, where we have a person in an area that somebody calls and says, you know, this person looks suspicious, and I think, you know, the police need to come out and contact him and see what he's doing out here. But, you know, every day is different. Some days we might have a lot of calls at the high school, for example, for maybe drug paraphernalia or fighting or something like that. And the next day we might have a lot of, we might have a rash of cars that have been broken into that we're handling, you know, several of those types of calls. And the next day might have some domestic violence, and, you know, like last night we had a robbery, and, you know, which are the big felony cases are pretty rare in Fortuna. So, you know, we're pretty proud that we're still, you know, probably the safest, you know, larger city in Humboldt County to live in still. So
what is petty theft?
Petty theft is anything taken under the value of $950.
So it's not a rarity thing. It's not bubblegum necessarily.
No, there's an infraction section.
Don't go in the weeds, man.
Okay. But yeah, petty theft is generally anything taken that has a value of $950 or less. Anything over $950 is grand theft, which is a felony. So the $950 is misdemeanor under $950, felony over $950.
It's a curious figure, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, so you think it'd be rounded somehow.
Well, just a few years ago, it was $400, and they raised it to $950, so...
Okay, so a lot of those types of things, crimes of opportunity, the lawnmower in the yard or the bike off the porch, that kind of stuff, just while it may be very disruptive for the kid who just lost it, hardly registers.
Every single day, we take theft reports of bicycles that somebody left in their front yard, lawnmowers, things that are easy to take that are out in the open. You'd be surprised how many calls for service we get, theft-related calls for service we get regarding items that are not secured. And bicycles are a big one. And people leaving their car door unlocked at night. We've had people leaving their purse on their passenger seat, parked in their driveway, but their car's unlocked. And then they wonder, you know, why was it stolen?
Were those situations as regular before the transient problems that we were experiencing throughout the county?
I don't think they were as regular as they are now. We seem to have a lot more of those types of calls than when we used to. I've been with the department for 21 years, and definitely have seen an uptick in those types of calls. And, you know, we're out there preaching, lock your car, keep your valuables out of sight, take them in the house with you, lock your front door at night. You know, lock up your shed, lock up your garage, and those sorts of things, because those types of things make you easy targets.
So a lot of times it's people just being lazy?
I don't know if it's being lazy. I think it's being, thinking that it's not going to happen to them. They've lived in Fortuna for 40 years, and they've never had anything happen to them, and then all of a sudden they're a victim of crime. And, it's getting that education effort out there, you know, to secure your belongings.
So where do all these bikes go to die? I mean, do you find them ever?
We do find a lot of them. We find a lot of bikes get turned in, and we have, in fact, we just cleaned out a Connex box of bicycles that we keep at our city yard, and there's got to be at least 100 bicycles in there that we couldn't find the owner for. So they're going to be taken. The good ones are going to be taken by a company and auctioned off, and we're going to get a little bit of the proceeds from that. So,
oh, okay.
They sit in there for about a year or so, and then once we can't find an owner, the bikes get auctioned off, so we can make room for the next round of bikes.
Next bikes.
Right.
You know, you realize how cold-hearted you are. Instead of refixing them up and giving them away to the poor kids.
You know,
you beast.
We've thought about doing something like that. But
it's more time for somebody. It's,
yeah, and a lot of these bikes, trust me, kids don't even want them. Yeah. They're found in the creek somewhere, and they're rusted out.
They're not even scrap metal?
Right, they're not even scrap metal.
Okay, you redeemed yourself. You're still a beast. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Yeah. What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Bill, as you're being cop, Bill, how do you make the call, the determination? Is this public safety, public communication? How do you weigh? Is this something that's I don't want to say viable, but that's the word that's leaping to my mind. Viable to share with others, or is this not enough? It doesn't rise to that level.
Well, we look at each incident individually, but if we, you know, let's say we have a rash of incidents in a certain area of town, we have new software that helps us map that a lot better now than we used to. And then that would be something that maybe we want to put a press release out, notify the public that, you know, we're having a rash of petty thefts in this area. You know, please make sure your cars are locked up. We're doing a lot of community outreach right now with the business communities, doing merchant meetings and things like that to avoid theft from businesses and things like that. And also dealing with the transient issues. It seems to be a hot topic in Fortuna, especially in the business community. So we're working with, the businesses in town, the private property owners in town. We're working on diligently enforcing our camping ordinance. We're seeing some good results lately. So if it's a community issue, we want to make that known and let the community know what we're doing. Going out and talking to the neighbor who has a dispute with his other neighbor over a hedge, you know, might not be something that, you know, we would, you know, put out to the public. But
yeah, it sounds like more something with UC Cooperative Extension.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What percentage, Chief Mills has been doing a ton of tracking. I know that you are aware of that. He said 87% of all burglaries in Eureka are transient related. Are you guys able to do that kind of tracking? I'm wondering what load is this segment of the population really causing and costing us?
It's causing and costing us a lot in Fortuna. I don't have the exact numbers. We recently switched over to a records management CAD system, computer aided dispatch system called RIMS. That's helping us track that a lot better and track where the crimes are occurring. But we, it is something that we're looking at. We're looking at getting those statistics, but I would say, you know, quite a few are transient related.
Thanks for coming by.
All right.
Doing a great job, day two.
Yeah.
Or three or four.
It's day two.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Excellent.